Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to Hebrews 12 this morning to start off with. Amen. Hebrews 12. And I'll tell you what we're going to talk about in just a little bit. I want to keep you excited as long as I can. Before I tell you what we're talking about, all right. All the word's good. How many know that? Amen. All of it's good. I gravitate. Everybody's different, but I gravitate towards the stuff that challenges you. You know, if I go to a resource table, we just call them tape tables, but we don't have tapes any longer. But people say, well, one on prosperity, one on healing, one on blessing, I'll gravitate toward the one that says one on faithfulness.
Right. Come on. Right.
I just do, because I know that right there is the key to all of it. Amen. So this morning, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read about four verses this morning if we have time. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, he's talking about all the people in the 11th chapter, the people that did things by faith and they saw victory, right? Amen. I mean, in the lion's den, amen. And, Abraham and Sarah and Enoch and Abel and Moses and the children of Israel and, different ones. He talks about David and Gideon and Barak and Samson, different ones that he talks about and how they saw great victories through their faith. He says, we are compassed with this. This is a cloud of witnesses for us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. One thing you need to know about the Old Testament stories is they're not there just to fill up space. It's not that God said, I want to write a big book. I haven't written a big book, and this will make it a big book. The Bible says they're there for our learning, that we through the Scriptures might have comfort and hope. So what it's saying to us is all those Old Testament stories are there so we can read them and expect God to do the same thing in our life should we face circumstances that are against us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God doesn't always remove the circumstances. Sometimes He helps you have victory in the midst of the circumstances.
Right. Right.
Amen. He didn't put out the fire for the three Hebrew children. He got in the fire with them. He didn't kill the lions in the den for Daniel. But He sent His angels to stop their mouths. Now, I don't know about you, but my preferred method is for God to stop the trouble.
Amen.
Hello. But He said, I'll be with you in trouble. And He doesn't send it. He doesn't send it. The Bible says trouble comes for the word's sake. But He'll help you in the midst of it. Amen.
Amen.
So we have this great cloud of witnesses. And He said, let us... as we finish reading, lay aside every weight. Weights could be things that not necessarily sin, but they weigh you down. I mean, if you watch, 10 hours of TV a day, you got to wait. Amen. And the sin, which does so easily beset us, and let us run, the King James says, with patience, you could say endurance or perseverance, the race that is set before us.
Amen.
Now, when the Bible talks about running a race with patience, what's that tell us? It might take a while. It's not a 100-yard dash. How many know you don't go, if you're a track coach, you don't tell the guys that are running a 100-yard dash, now pace yourself. How many know what 100 yards is? It's a football field. Y'all acting like you don't know what a 100-yard dash is. Well, I was a runner for years up until I got around 60. And then I stopped. And I still think sometimes I'm going to start back up, but I haven't. But I was a runner, ran longer races. You know, I know I don't look like it. Don't judge me. I said until I was around 60. Then 30 pounds came from somewhere. I overate one night. But what I want to talk to you tonight, or this morning about, is, and now listen to this, because I want you to see it this way, the value of perseverance. Everybody say value. And you say, I don't find any value in that. Well, we're going to show you there's value in it. Yeah. You know, some things that, you know, are valuable, right? Yeah. You know, some things that, you know, that are in life, they don't have any value to me. I have no, broccoli has no value in my life. Maybe you do. I'd have to dunk it in cheese sauce, peanut butter, and what's that cream cheese stuff for fruit? You know that you can about. You know, how many know what I'm talking about? What's that called? Fruit dip. You can about eat anything with that. Amen. But my point is, see, some things are valuable, right? And the Bible is going to. I'm going to show you through the Word today, through the Bible, that perseverance, as unpleasant as it may sound, is very valuable to your life. You know, perseverance. It means you stick with it. See, Jesus taught us this. And remember the parable of the sower that sows the word? I remember that. He said that there would be some, you know, that when they hear the word, they receive it with joy and gladness, but they only endure for a time. Persuffliction. I make words up as we go if I need to. Brother Eddie one time was trying to say Galatians and Colossians, and he said Galatians, but anyway. So when persecution comes, that's just a short way to not say both words. When persecution or affliction comes, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So what did he say? He said, well, they started out good, but they didn't finish. Now, in running races, I've seen that. People start out really good. I've told you many times, I remember running a race one time with my two granddaughters. And when we started out on this race, you know, of course, I'm experienced, they're inexperienced, and so they're, you know, I'm helping them. One of them would train, the other one would train every Thursday. And I told her, I said, you can't train every Thursday and do this. Oh, I'll get it, Grandpa. I'm running. And when'd you run? Well, I ran on Thursday. Well, but she did. She not only finished it, she moaned and groaned, and I thought we were going to have to stop, but she ended up getting a trophy. So what do I know? You know? Maybe that's what I should have been doing. I didn't get any trophy. Anyway. But as we took off, people started passing us. And I even heard a guy, it sounded like he had asthma. Really, I'm not making fun of it. It just sounded like he was going, he passed us. And they got a concerned look on their face. And I said, it's okay. These are people that start good. They're rookies at this. They don't realize we got a distance yet to go. You're not going to win at all at the start. And sure enough, we've passed them one by one. I don't know if we got every one of them, but I'd say we probably got most of them and passed them all, because after a while, they lost steam. They lost gas. I even saw one time land on the side of the road in the ditch. Amen. Like the Levite, I went to the other side and kept going. There'll be a good Samaritan come by here after a while. I've got stuff to do here. But what happened? Well, you could start good, but how many of you got to finish? Now this is one definition of perseverance. I like this. Perseverance is this. It's steady persistence in a course of action or purpose. Steady persistence in a course of action or purpose. Now listen, especially in the spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. How many of there's going to be difficulties come in life? I thought you was a faith guy. I am. I believe all the Bible too, by the way. The Bible tells us this. There's going to be obstacles. And how many of there's going to be days that you're going to be tempted to be discouraged? Thank you for all that shouting. I don't expect you to shout over that, but it's still the truth. How many know that? So we need to know that. See, I think sometimes when people face, especially us that teach on faith a lot, when some people face difficulties, they think, well, what's wrong with me? Nothing. I said nothing. Now, you could be doing things wrong and mess your life up. You know, there's a big difference between trials and troubles. We can cause our own troubles by not obeying the Word. I've had people that disobey the Word and go, boy, the devil's really attacking me. No, he's not. You're helping him. You're like the guy hitting himself in the head with a hammer and saying, pray for my headache. We got to get you to stop doing what you're doing. Isn't that right? So, perseverance is steady persistence in a course or action or purpose, a course of action or purpose, in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. Go to James chapter 5. Because I want to look about five scriptures this morning, and then we'll pray for you. James chapter 5. James the 5th chapter. The value of perseverance. The value of just sticking with it. Now, I can tell you this from running races. I never did, in all of my life, never did a full marathon. Never. I did half. Every time, I did several halves. Every time I do a half, I think, how do you ever do a full one? I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go to the house. Actually, I had a dog run with me one time. He finished the race. He made it on the news. Didn't y'all ever see that? It was the Evansville Half Marathon. We had a dog. I was running the race. Here comes this dog running by me. He ran beside me, you know. And finally, he got bored with me and cut off and took off. And when I got done with the race, I talked to our family, and they said, oh, he finished the race. So they gave him a medal. Then they called animal control. And the story, it actually made national news. Not just our local news, it made national news. It was in the runners, like stuff. You know, I was a runner in those days, and I knew the runner, websites and stuff like that. It made it. And this dog, what happened was he broke loose the night before from his owner off a chain, and he saw all the people up at Wright's High School, because that's where we were starting at. And he came up there, and he just ran with us, and he went all the way. And, when he got across the finish line, they gave him a medal and called animal control, and finally his owner came and, you know, got him when they found out about it, that he had broken loose, and they got him. And he died like 2 days later. Aww. My sister said, well, it was on his bucket list. It was one of the things this dog wanted to do is run a half marathon, and he did. But here's what I know about doing that, see. Here's what I know. You got to have something called perseverance. Because you're going to go, I don't care how many times you've done it. Listen to me. Doesn't matter how many times you've done it. I was pretty much, I wasn't expert, but I was seasoned. Very seasoned at it. And it didn't matter how many times or how many I had ran. There's going to be times in that race where you're going to feel like quitting. There's going to be times you're going to think, what's the point? This is dumb. Exactly. That's what my wife would tell me. It's like, you're all going to end up the same place anyway. You know, why don't you just drive? She had no sporting blood and still doesn't, unless her grandkids are playing. But you go through phases. You do. I would hit the 6 mile mark and think, man, I'm ready to quit. But then you push on and you get better. And then you'd hit the 11 mile mark and think, man, I'm ready to quit. But you just kept pressing on and your energy would come back. See, there's a lot of truth to that in our walk of faith. Is there's going to be times, there's going to be temptations to quit. And that's when we got to really know the value of just sticking with it, because there's something good up ahead. Jesus, because of what he saw on the other side, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. There's something good on the other side. But sometimes you got to tough it out a little bit. Amen. I always think about the weight loss, and I know you guys get tired of me talking about this, but it's not easy, is it? If it's easy, everybody would do it. Well, not everybody. Look, Pastor Chickle, yeah. I've got 4 ounces on from Thanksgiving I need to get rid of. I just want to slap people like him that Travis. You know, they're eating like a triple cheeseburger and all you can have is the bun. Look, here's the thing. Everything good in life has a price to pay, doesn't it? You want an education? It's got a price to pay. Amen. You want to get ahead financially? There's a price to pay. It's called getting out of bed, going to work, right? See. Why should you see the people and we want to help people that really need help, but don't misunderstand this statement. But there's a lot of people out there that they're just preying off of us with their signs. And there's a job all over the place. Right? Look, I've been in places, I've been in countries where they don't have that opportunity. They don't have the job. They don't have the jobs available. They need help. I want to help them. Amen. We do help them. But, most of those people we see around our city have the same opportunities we have. I know this isn't popular and isn't politically correct. But the point is, what's the point? There's a price to pay. If you want to eat, there's a price to pay. If you don't work, you don't eat. My good pastor friend from Germany said, I think the more you work, the more you should be able to eat. How many understand that there's a price to pay, right? So I'm not belittling people that are having difficulties, because there are some genuine things. I've preached down at the mission many times. I talked to the guys. I saw people there that had misfortune come into their life and it caused them to crash. They need help. They need a hand up, not a hand out. But then I saw other people say, this is just the way I want to live. I want to live this way. So why should I change the way you want to live? Amen. Why should I be campaigning to change the way you want to live? You want to live that way? Live that way. But if you want something good, I mean, there's a price to pay. Right? That's why we got to have perseverance. Amen? Look at this in James chapter 5. I hope I haven't offended half of you already. But anyway, it is what it is. James chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Everybody say happy. I don't always associate happy with enduring. I mean, we Americans, we don't want to wait for anything. I've told you before, I remember when McDonald's years ago came out with the 30-second clock. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, Miss Phyllis was a legalist about that clock. Finally, somebody in the corporation had enough sense that this was a dumb idea. It's like New Coke. How many are old enough to remember when McDonald's came out with a 30-second clock? They had a 30-second clock. You got your meal in 30 seconds. Or it was free, wasn't it? It was free. And boy, she'd watch that clock. She'd go, 32 seconds, tell them, 32 seconds. And I'd say, let's have a little grace. Well, they shouldn't say if they don't mean it. So if you're looking for mercy, come to me. Where I'm teasing. But how many understand that that's the mentality of American people, right? It's all fast. It's all, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I mean, we get, it's almost like toss a burger. You drive by, you roll your window out, they toss the burger in the sack. Well, how many understand? Yeah, we may have that, but it doesn't taste like grandma's did. Amen. My mom could fry burgers, and I mean, you could eat them by a bushel basketful, you know. I mean, you know, pat them out, flour them, fry. Oh my gosh, look out. They weren't McDonald's burgers, believe me. But we count, everybody say happy.
Happy.
Why do you count happy? Because when you endure, there's something good on the other end. Notice this. You've heard of the patience or the endurance of Job. You've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and of tender mercy. Notice it says you've seen with Job. People want to talk about what Job went through and all that. But here it says you see the end of the Lord. In other words, the New King James said it this way. You see the end intended by the Lord. What was God's intention for Job? Well, we find it in Job 42:11, where it says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job and gave him twice as much as he had. It already says he was the richest man in all the East. But when God got done, see, the devil came in. People want to say, well, God did that to Job. No, it says Satan went forth and smote Job. Job went through a trial. I said Job went through a trial. But when he came out of the trial, he had twice as much as he had before he went in. That's God's intention for all of us, is when we face things, we come out with twice as much, twice better off than we were when we went in it. Hallelujah. All right. Now, knowing that, I want you to go to James chapter 1, because I want to read this and connect this with that, James chapter 1. Because James says something in chapter 1. The Bible says things about trials that, you know, kind of run crossways of the way you would think in the natural. You wouldn't really think that way. But in James chapter 1, hey, are you all ready now? It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Well, how in the world could you do that? How many other joys inside of you? Yeah. CDN talked about rejoicing and joy a couple Wednesday nights ago. Yeah. It's inside of all of us. Why? Yeah. Because it's part of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's inside of us. Yeah. Well, I don't feel like I got much joy. Well, you're just not letting it out.
Right.
How many other, well, she talked about rejoicing. What's rejoicing is the act of joy.
Yeah.
It's actions. It's acting out joy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, you have to notify your face sometimes. Amen.
Amen.
You know, people that have true joy, they're powerful.
Right.
I remember as a kid, preteen teenager, I remember there being a guy in our town that was a Christian. And he was so different than most Christians that I'd met, which I hadn't met many, so I wasn't an expert on it. But he was different in the fact that every time you met him, he was full of joy. He was always rejoicing. He was kind of a bigger guy anyway, good-looking, well-built guy, you know. So his presence was kind of intimidating, just the size of him. But the joy that he had is like, this is different. I said, this is different. Most Christians are, you know, thought they're supposed to be sad. Amen. Come on. You know, some churches think that the church is supposed to be like a funeral home. Quiet, reverent. Hey, I said, hey. Go read the Old Testament. Just read the Old Testament. And tell me David was quiet and reverent. He danced so hard one time it embarrassed his wife. Have you embarrassed your wife lately? I'm talking about at church. By how much you praise God? Come on now. He praised God so much he said, boy, didn't you look glorious today? He said, I'm going to be more vile than this woman. Shut your mouth. I had to shut your mouth. Amen. So, no. I said no. It's not in the Bible. That's religion. That was invented by people, not God. The Bible says, make His praise glorious. The Bible says, lift your hands. The Bible says, clap your hands. The Bible says, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Make a, the psalmist said, Psalm 100, make a joyful noise, the King James says. It's literally, make a joyful shout. And when you read it, listen, I've checked it out. In the Hebrew, it's an ear-splitting shout. Well, I don't believe that that's Bible. Well, have you read the Bible? No. Well, then you know much about the Bible as you do flying an airplane. Sit down, shut up. Everybody smile. Like Travis laughed over that one, praise God. How many of you know that? I meet people sometimes want to tell me what the Bible says, never read the Bible. And I've been studying the Bible for 40 some plus years, teaching it all the time. That's the way I live. That's what I do. Well, I just don't believe. Well, I don't care what you believe. Read it. Amen. I had a neighbor one time going to have a little disagreement with me about what the Bible says. Don't try to tell me what the Bible says unless you read the Bible. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I don't know. There's some things I don't know much about. So I don't try to tell people how to do it that have went to school for years to learn about how to do it. Amen. Come on. Are you with me? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, today, engines are so, like even your vehicle, they've changed so much over the years. When I started getting vehicles, you could get your arms in there. You could reach in there and do stuff. And, you know, if it wasn't running right, you know, okay, the fuel filter's clogged. You check that out. You know, you knew the symptoms, right? You know, if it went, you knew what that was. It went, you know, oh, I know what that is. Cha-ching. You know what I'm saying? I mean, remember those days. What did you do? You, if it wasn't running right, you either had a fuel filter problem, and you knew the signs for that. It needed new spark plugs. It needed points. A new distributor cap. Timing. You know, today there's all kinds of sensors and everything. So it'd be foolish for me to try to tell a modern-day mechanic how to fix a truck. He spent his life doing it. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? So, all right, now where are we at? All right, count it all what? Joy when you fall into various trials or temptations, knowing this, listen to this, you got to know this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her, or we could say endurance, or like what we're talking about, persistence. But let patience or persistence or endurance have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, here's the reason you can count it joy, because just like Job came out on the other side with twice as much, you're going to come out blessed. Amen. If you endure, if you persevere. He says you'll lack nothing. You'll come out blessed, lacking nothing. Amen. See, Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 6:12 that through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Amen. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. For you have need, listen, this is the Bible, you have need of patience, endurance, or perseverance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You got to stick with it. You can't just start and quit. Amen? Sometimes your faith is going to get tried. See, I got the same response today as I did last Sunday at Pastor Debbie's church when I said that. Nobody said anything. But listen, the Bible tells us that your faith is precious and it will be tried with fire. Think it not strange, the fiery trial, which is to try you. Now, here's what we need to know. God doesn't send a fiery trial. The devil does that. But do you have real faith? See, you can talk about. See, a lot of times, see, what does fire do to precious metal? It brings out the impurities, right? What does fire, what does the trying of our faith do? When you study the Bible, it brings out impurities out of your life that need to go. Now, God's not doing that. You know, He's not sending the trouble, but in the midst of it, some good things can come out of it. So you don't really know where you're at till your faith is tried. How many know that? You can talk a good talk. See, Peter thought, remember what Peter said? He said, they'll all deny you, I won't. How many think he really believed that? But did he deny the Lord? Three times, didn't he? He didn't know what was in him till pressure was put on. You can think I'm the apostle of love. I walk in love more than anybody in the church. Pastor, if you need a good example when you preach on love, it's me. I'll use you for the pride one too also and the humility teaching. But anyway, how many know? You could really think that and then you're in Walmart parking lot and somebody runs into your brand new four-wheel drive GMC pickup truck, right? See, if it was a Ford, nobody would care. But since it's a GMC, this is a problem. This is a real problem. Now, we're going to find out whether you, Mr. Love, King, Apostle, or not, because it's going to get tried. How many are with me now? See, you don't know till you go through the fire what's inside of you. And sometimes we go through the fire, we find out, well, I didn't have as much faith as I thought. I didn't stay with it. I gave up. All right, how many think your faith is going to go through a fire every now and then? A little more. Doesn't matter whether you think it or not, the Bible says it is, right? Well, the church has made a big mistake is they blame the fire on the Lord, and that's not the Lord doing it. It's your faith gets tested by the enemy. See, even Jesus said that to one of the churches in Revelation. He's talking to I forget which church it was, maybe Smyrna or Pergamos. He said, the devil is going to throw some of you in prison that your faith may be tried. She has faith, people would rebuke Jesus over that. Don't say that, Jesus. But there's trying of her. It is really quiet in here. I think I'm still, thank God, maybe I'll still be pastor next week. We'll see. But it's still the truth. How many know that? It's in the Bible. See, I'm a faith guy, but I'm also a word. I'm all the Word of God guy. I believe it all. I'll preach it all. And your faith will give you the victory. Now, you know, I don't believe that we live like some in the old Pentecost used to, like it's just nothing but a life of trials and trouble, tribulation and woe. No, but we do have testing. Amen. I don't have testing every day. Amen. But I do have it. Amen. So, we're to count it all joy. Everybody say joy. All right, let's go to one last scripture. Did you get anything this morning? I just want to just encourage you to see the value of perseverance. When you know it's God's will for something in your life, just stick with it. Just keep expecting. Just stay with it. Don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, go with me to, let's just read one verse here. Matter of fact, I just want to read the first phrase of this verse. That's really all we need to pull. Well, no, let's read the whole thing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and you have professed a good profession or confession before many witnesses. I mean, we have to have some fight in us. You got to ask yourself, because there's a, you know, we talk about the rest of faith, but there's also the fight of faith. There's a fight to stay in faith, but when you're in faith, you're in rest. So you have to labor to enter into that rest, the Bible says. You got to, what do you mean? What does that mean? It kind of sounds funny, but you got to fight the fight of faith. Right? You got to fight the fight of faith. I one time was reading this thing or listening to this thing, I think maybe both, about people that live to be 100 years old or older. You know, there's, I forget how many there are in the United States, but there's quite a few people that live 100 years old. And, you know, and they would interview these people, and they were interviewing these people, and they were asking them about what's the secret, what's the key. Really, there's some spiritual keys here to this. Not one of them said, well, I just ate broccoli all the time, and, you know, and that just caused me to live a long life, and, I just made sure I had my salad every day, and my lean chicken, and you know what I'm saying? And I used a George Foreman grill when I did have a burger to get all the grease off of it, and that made me live to be 100 years old. I never heard that. I said, I never heard that. I heard some things I didn't agree with that I don't think that was the answer. One guy said, well, I smoke a cigar every day. And I thought, well, I don't think that's your answer right there. But when you dug a little deeper, you found some things. One guy said, he said, I don't worry about anything. Anything. Now, what he didn't know, or maybe he did know, that's a spiritual truth. That's a spiritual law. See, I don't know that whether he knew it or not. And I think some of these people were operating spiritual laws and did not know it. Some of them said, I just never quit moving. I never quit. I think that's a key. You don't quit. You know, as you get older, the devil tries to talk you into quitting things. Doesn't he? Quit that. And your body will side up with him. Won't it? Quit that. That's when you got to be you and be the boss. You got to be the parent over that flesh. Let me know that. I know growing up, my dad was a parent. We didn't boss him around. He bossed us around. He only had us so he'd have somebody to do work for him. So he'd have somebody do work for him. Wouldn't any reason to have kids. They're just in the way. But if you can put them to work, praise the Lord. Well, it kind of seemed like that, you know. I remember one time he wanted to build a 32 by 32 garage, and he said, we're going to dig some footings. And I know who we was. I was a multiple person sometimes. I was a we. And so I remember having this conversation with Dad. You know how big a 32 by 32 garage is when you're digging the footing 2 feet deep for the thing? That's a pretty good size. So I remember telling Dad, I said, now, Dad, I'm serious. This is a conversation I have with him. I said, we had a neighbor a quarter mile down the road. I said, now, he's got a backhoe. Why don't we go get that backhoe? Oh, he said, this won't be hard. And he was right. It wasn't hard for him at all. Not at all. How many understand? I think one of the keys that I saw out of these people is they were fighters. They just stuck with it. They didn't let worry get into their life. They didn't let strife get into their life, unforgiveness in their life. These were all spiritual keys. Y'all see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that diet or anything doesn't have anything to do with it. Obviously, you can hurt yourself if you don't watch what you're doing. But I think sometimes we put more emphasis on that instead of the spiritual. And the spiritual is more important. Because you could do all that right and do the spiritual wrong and you're going to have problems. But you do that right. Amen. That's the biggest key. Amen. All right. Now, so fight. Everybody say fight the good fight of faith. So we have to fight. Amen. There's a fight to faith. We got to stick with it. We got to stay at it. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then we have a great high priest that's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Why? Because we have a high priest that's passed through the heavens. We got somebody up there working on our behalf. Yeah. Hang on to what you're saying. Yeah. Hang on to what you're... Don't give up on your confession. Don't give up on what you're believing for. Right. Yeah. Keep believing. There's value in it. I want to close with this. David said this in Psalm 27. He said, I had fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'd fainted. I'd have given up. I wouldn't have persevered, but I believed I was going to see something good. Right. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now here is a modern paraphrase. It's not a translation, but I like what it says. This modern paraphrase renders this verse this way. It says this: I'm sure now, I'll see God's goodness in the exuberant earth. Stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I say it again: stay with God. Stick with it. Persevere. So, Pastor, I've been believing for this for a long time. Well, you're closer. I said you're closer. Stay with it. It's the devil that tries to get us to give up. Stick with it. There's things that, you know, thank God, not everything. You know, some things come to pass pretty fast. Some things do. But sometimes there's a fight of faith. And that's where there's value in persevering. Just stick with it. Amen. Because the Bible promises you that you'll have a great reward if you do. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of that? It's a little more than preaching, teaching, just a little exhorting today. But, you know, I see people that start good. Just like I was talking about in a race, sometimes I've seen them start pretty good. And they don't finish well because they don't realize this isn't a 100-yard dash. Now, like I said, I've never ran a full marathon, but one of the things, you know, I thought about it, and I thought about it again, thought, nah, I don't think I want to do that. You know, maybe one day I will. Probably not. But, you know, we've all heard of the Boston Marathon. What gets most people in the Boston Marathon, even these are seasoned people, because you have to have 3 qualifying races to even get in it. So you got to be pretty decent to get in it. You don't just show up with Dunkin' Donuts and coffee and get in. But what gets most people is the start of it for a while is downhill. And they run too fast. And they don't have enough energy to finish it. You got to have endurance. You got to realize not everything is going to be a 100-yard dash. Not everything's going to be fast. But there is a finish line. There's a finish line. And I've seen people too just grit it out. They ran. They walked. They stopped. They fell. They got back up. They ran. They walked. And before it might have been an hour after everybody else was done, but they've crossed the finish line. You salute them because they finished. I said they finished. They may not have finished ahead of some other people, but they finished. At least you're going to finish. When you go to the race, you know, they have corrals like for cattle. They call them corrals. You get in the right corral. In other words, if you're not going to finish up front, don't get in the front corral and get in everybody's way. So me, being the average guy that I am, would go right to the middle one, maybe a little in front, because, you know, there was 2,000 ran it. I finished 700. So a little bit more than ahead. But still, I finished.
That's right, amen.
No, I didn't. My picture didn't get in the press courier. They didn't interview me. They just said, hey, here's a medal. Put it on. But I finished. That dog finished. That's what counts. Don't get all caught up in how long it's taken. Just finish.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.